Well, that was a hell of a lot of fun. Earlier this year, Alan Parsons played on this stage with the Alan Parsons Project. His first day on the job for Abbey Road Studios, he told me, was they said, you need to go downtown and pull cord for a band that's going to play. And it was the Beatles rooftop concert. So that was his first week on the job, and he's sitting there going, holy mother of God. You know, it's like, what? Talk about a little pressure. Billy Preston has also played on this stage. Billy Preston's the only guy who has a credit for Get Back. He's the only one that shared a credit for a Beatles song. They figured out that he had done so much for the keyboard work on Get Back that Billy Preston got credit. So there's two near Beatles who have played on this stage. And this is actual real trivia. This is just not me bullshitting. On this day, on October 11th, 1968, on this day, 46 years ago today, five saxophonists showed up at Abbey Road Studio, and they were told they were going to play on one of the songs on the White Album, George Harrison's Savoy Truffle. And so they came in, and I read this in the Abbey Road Studio Sessions, which is a great book. You should get it. And five saxophonists, they never get to play together. And so the quintet sat down and said they were really warmed up. They didn't have to worry about the French horn players or the sousaphone players or anybody else. It's just five saxophonists. And they said they played brilliantly. But then George Harrison and George Martin took what they played and put the distortion on it. If you remember, the Savoy Truffle is, and you have to have your teeth pulled out by the Savoy Truffle. And that, and it's that kind of muffled sound. So George Martin and George Harrison took what they did, went upstairs and put the distortion on it. And when the five musicians came up and said, well, we'd like to hear the playback, and George Harrison said, I really have to apologize to all you people. Said, you played beautifully, but... He said, but we really messed it up and I apologize. But this is the way the song needs to sound. And the next time you hear Savoy Truffle, you'll know exactly when you hear the... that's saxophones in the background, but it doesn't sound like saxophones. And the saxophone players were pissed. So, but now they get to tell their grandchildren they played on the White Album. Also, when I was looking through the book, on October 12th, 1965, which is tomorrow, I guess... Run for Your Life was recorded in five takes. This is when they were doing the Revolver album, Rubber Soul album. I think the Rubber Soul album is the best album they ever did, but, you know, that's the one I play the most. I'm sorry. It's between that and the White Album. I'm sorry. This is the day tomorrow in 1965. It's also the day that John Lennon sat down and put down the first track for a song called This Bird Has Flown, which later became Norwegian Wood, which has a rather catchy melody, as I recall. So on October 8th, 1964, 50 years ago this week, McCartney, who knows his way around a tune or two, recorded She's a Woman, which is one of the great, it was a single. If you have the Past Masters, it's one of the best. Take 6 was the one they took on She's a Woman. Also, while the band's setting up, I'm killing time here. If you have not seen the documentary film Good Old Frida, get on Netflix tonight when you get home. Frida was she took care of the fan club. And she started with them from the get-go. And she used to answer all the fan letters by hand. And she was just working as a typist in an office. And Brian Epstein just said, you, come with me. And she became their loyal confidant, their insider. She knew all the dirt on the Beatles. At one point, people thought Paul McCartney was going to marry her. And she was just this single girl in Liverpool. And they took her along for the whole ride of the Beatles. And she never asked for more money. She never sold out their story. She never screwed them over, which is very rare in today's, you know, in the current climate. Everybody would sell you out. And if you have not seen this movie, and she only made the documentary because she has grandchildren now, and they didn't believe that she had worked for the Beatles. So it's a really sweet documentary. It'll break your heart, and it'll bring back all these memories. Good old Frida. Let me check with, speaking of girls and bands, let me check with Bedhead Betty here. Now I would like to do my interpretation of the White Album. Actually, my brother Randall, who's a bass player, is a really hellaciously good bass player. He and I, last story I told, I stole money to buy Sgt. Pepper. So by the time the White Album came out, we actually had earned money from picking up pecans. How pathetic is that? But we picked up enough pecans to make enough money that he and I split the cost of the White Album, drove our bikes downtown, bought the White Album, and had to decide who owned it. But we sat down and listened to the White Album on a Saturday night while my parents were out and listened to the whole thing four times over. And at that point, Wild Honey Pie was my favorite song. Now I'm more mature and I have a lot of better taste, so Why Don't We Do It in the Road is my favorite song now. Why don't we do it in the road? Why don't we do it in the road? No one will be watching us. Why don't we do it in the road? Thank you, Tom Waits. And after that Tom Waitsian introduction, I would like to present Bedhead Betty.